My father was an alcoholic, and there were some tough times in our family. And when I sing the song about you're a good, good father, God, he's such a great dad. I think because of some of the things that happened in my growing up, that I want to be a good dad. I want to be a good father. I want to be a good grandpa. And I realize, you know, I can't be any of that. Except for the love of the Father in heaven who allows us to love. I'm so thankful for a God in heaven who, you know, I think about my dad, and I don't fault him. He was vexed with difficulties with his dad, and it was a tough situation, but you always want better for your kids.
Right.
And I'm so thankful that God loves us so much. And that's what I want to talk about this morning. I want to talk about that people matter. If you wouldn't mind standing with me, I have a short little verse we're going to talk about this morning. It's in 1 John 4, 7 and 8. Beloved, let us love one another, for love is of God, and everyone who loves is born of God and knows God. He who does not love does not know God, for God is love. You may be seated. I am excited about the startup. I'm excited about the startup of Living Faith in Spokane. This is their launch today, and they're getting ready to invite all sorts of people to come next Sunday, and their core team of folks in that are there today, and we're so glad you're here. But you're going to be in the same process as we are, as our town is being inundated with people. Have you noticed that? It has been inundated with people. No longer is it rush minute. Our rush minute now has gone to rush 5 minute. It now takes you, instead of 5 minutes to get across town, about 7.5 minutes to get across town because of all the hustle and bustle. If you go to Walmart, it takes a little longer. Now the lines are getting longer and longer and longer. You know what I mean? Just speed through, like, who's here? Now they're getting longer. People are coming. People, 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 people. Ah! Oh, life would be great if it just wasn't for the people. That's not God's take on it. People. I heard someone who lives in Pullman, somebody was telling me down at the Jason Retreat, and I can't remember what happened. Some college kid did something. They're backing out of their driveway, and a college kid was doing something and fussed them all up. And they made this comment. They said, I hate it when the college kids are here in Pullman. I'm going, well, first of all, they're here 10 months. You only get 2 months of peace and quiet while you're here. Besides that, why would you pick a college town to live in? We're outnumbered 2-1, college students to residents. I mean, 2/3 of our population are college students here. You better like college kids if you're going to live in a college community. You can't just bemoan the fact. I love college kids. I still consider myself one. You're only as young as you feel, right? My brother, who lives in Boise, we grew up in Boise. He hates Boise now because of all of the people that are there. We grew up there 40-some years ago when it was just really quiet. There wasn't very many people. I'm sure Spokane feels the same thing. That it was easy to get around. You loved the place. You had all of the amenities of life and fishing and hunting and skiing and all that real close. And then everybody started coming. Everybody started coming. People came. People came. People came. Everybody started coming. And it grew. And now he hates the place. But God loves people. God loves people. Sometimes we feel like too many people ruin a good thing. Let me tell you what, too many people will not ruin heaven. Too many people will not ruin heaven. We may feel like, hey, they ruined my little quiet, my peace and quiet and all of that stuff. But let me tell you what, God loves people. The word people is used 2,300 times in the Bible. People, 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 people. Do you know that in this Bible, there are 3,237 different names of people. Different people named out. Now, some of those are you know, there's 31 Zacharias, there's 5 Johns, there's multiple names, 3,200 and some odd people who are named in this, named by name. And then there's a whole host of people who aren't named, like the demoniac, Lot's wife, the lady at the well, widow with her two mites, the demoniac, the good Samaritan, the three wise men. It goes on and on and on. This book is full of people. This book is full of people and their story and their life. It was written by people, for people. So it might help people. It might help us. I want us to get ready as a church for the people who are going to come through these doors. They're going to come through and they're going to be looking for something. They're going to be looking for something that only God can really touch and help in a person. And that's the love of a God who cares about them so much. God loves people. They matter to Him. What they're going through matters to God. What their struggles are matter to God. What their pain is matters to God. What their issues are matter to God. What they're thinking matters to God. What they're doing matters to God. They matter to God. And God didn't just get them started. God didn't just birth it down here and go, okay, you're started, and then I'll meet back up with you when you get to heaven. It's not deism. It's not a God that's uninvolved, uncaring, started us off, left, and He's going to come back maybe at the end. He's a God who's involved in our life each and every day. He cares about the little things, the big things, the good things, the bad things, the ugly things, the sweet things, the lovely things, the wonderful things, the sugary things. He cares about everything. He loves you. He cares about your life, everything you're going through. You're not a burden to Him. You're not a bother to Him. You're not, oh God, here's a... No, no, He loves you. He cares about you. He's involved in your life and He wants to be. And I want to give two thoughts about that people matter. Number one, that God cares about you and He cares about you right now, what you're going through. He cares about what's happening in your life. He cares about you and what life's throwing in your direction. And have you noticed that life throws stuff? It throws good stuff. It throws manure. It throws candy. It throws so many different things. And we all go through it. He cares about you. Carrie talked last week about Job and all that he went through. It was a very bad day that he had when the calamity hit him. And God cares about your bad day. He cares about your good day. He loves you. I was thinking about this when I've been working on a remodel, on a remodel of a place, and gutted it out and been remodeling it. I kind of working the nights on it and late nights, sometimes 2, 3, 4 o'clock in the morning some nights, trying to get this all set, and we're just about ready to be done with it. So hallelujah, praise the Lord for that. But in the time as I've been going through and doing this, I caught myself doing this. Now, I don't know any of you DIYers, do it yourself, DIYers out there. How many people like are DIYers, like a do it yourself? Okay, good. Have you noticed that when you're doing your project and you get all the tools together and you have everything right there, have you noticed that it doesn't always go according to plan? Yeah. Have you noticed something happens? In a lot of cases, multiple things. And as I'm doing this project, they would happen over and over and over and over again. So many things happened, and so many things kind of went wrong and were difficult and were hard. I started going like this. I'm moving along. It's late at night, and I'm just talking to the Lord and stuff. And then something would happen. I'm going, really? Really, God? And I would literally say that about 10 or 15 times in the night. Really? I've got to take care of this now? Really, God? Really? Really? This was wired wrong. This is over here. I mean, so many different things. It was amazing. It's about a 2-month project. I just, really, God? And I was telling Carrie, and so she was sharing with somebody about how life goes like that, you know, and you say, really? And then and all of a sudden, God just whacked me inside the head. I was, and here's what happened. I was wire nutting these light switches together. Had a big jar of wire nuts. And so I'm wire nutting it all together. And as I'm wire nutting it all together, I'm sitting there wire nutting, and I'm sitting on a chair because I learned when you're older, you have a chair on a roller because you can go around on the chair and sit down and do a number of things while you're sitting, which is, I'm getting smarter. So I'm sitting down there, and I kicked over the whole jar of wire nuts. They all fall out. So I put them all back in and move to the next spot. I kick them over again. And I'm going, really, God? And so I put them all back in again. And I come to the next one, and I kick him over a third time and knock him out. I'm going, like, really, God? And finally, literally, here's what God said. Dude, I didn't do it. I didn't knock him over. That's on you, dude. You did. Your big, clumsy feet knocked him over. It's not me. It's not me. Sometimes I have felt, have you ever, you know, God's up there, and we're like a little ant. And we, did you ever do this as kids? I did it. Maybe it was bad. So please don't report me to animal rights activists. But there'd be the ants down there running around. And so I got the magnifying glass out, and I put the magnifying glass and see if you could burn the ant. Versus stepping on them, because we didn't like them, I would burn them. And, you know, you try to do that. And I kept thinking, God, are you up there in heaven going, watch his hand, watch his foot. I'll make it kick over those wire nuts. It's like, he's not up there doing that. He's not up there trying to burn you out. He's not trying to frustrate your life. He's not trying to make it difficult for you. He's not in heaven trying to do you harm. He's not in heaven trying to do you bad. He doesn't go, let me see what else I could do bad for you today. Part of it just happens. Life just happens. I knock things over. This last time, I was getting to the very end, putting this last piece of flooring in. I had one last little piece, had to make a cut and put it in there. Last piece of the whole project, last little piece. I go down there, I measure it, get it all done, go over there, cut it, get it all cut. I go back to get it, and I go, oh my gosh, I cut it backwards. So I go back down, and I get there, and I put in the thing, and I cut another one, and as soon as I made the cut, I go, wait a second. And I went back upstairs and realized I had it backwards from backwards. It actually fit just fine. And then I go, and I just now cut another piece that's now ruined for any other thing that would like to go to. And I'm going, really? I so wanted to say really. And then I realized, you're just not very bright right now. You did it. Some of the stuff we just do. God's not up there burning us, not up there trying to make life difficult for us. He actually loves us beyond what you could possibly imagine. God cares about you. He knows the numbers of hairs on your head. He knows you lost your job and he cares about that. He knows you're having money problems and he cares about that. He knows you're having marital problems and he cares about that. He knows you're having kid problems and he cares about that. He knows you're having school problems and he cares about that. He knows you're having health problems and he cares about that. He cares about that. He cares about your life. He loves you. He's not just sitting in heaven waiting to smite you. We have that little smite button. All right, Phil. He's getting a little too big for his britches. Watch this. Bomb, smite. Woo! Now it's not what he's after. I think there's another one up there. We have the other one for a picture of God up there. God at his computer, ready to hit it. The smite button, you know. That's not how God is. That's not how he is. I came across this quote. God loves you more in a moment than anyone could in a lifetime. God loves you more in a moment than anybody on this earth could love you in a lifetime. God cares about you. My second point. God cares about others. Right now, he cares about those people out there. He cares about them. He cares about you. He cares about what you're going through right now. He cares about all those people out there and what they're going through because they have a story. They have an issue. They have a problem. They have a hurt. They have a pain. And Jesus Christ died for them just like he died for us in here. He cares about them. Do we? Put this down. God did not put people on the face of the earth just to annoy you. God did not put people on the face of this earth just to annoy you. Some annoying people. How about that driver who doesn't go very fast? Speed limit's 50. Your speed is 20. 40, your speed is 31. Why? It says it right there. I think that's the bike. Why? Why would you go under the speed limit? Do you not have a life? Do you not have somewhere to go? Why are you in your car? Go home and drink lemonade. Go home and order it on eBay or Amazon. Don't get in a car. Have you noticed those people? It's like, have you ever been annoyed by them? What about the guy who takes up more than just one parking spot? Thank you. Thank you. You need four? And leave your cart there too? Do they annoy you? Especially when you can't find a spot and some guy's got four of them? What about the, ever been stuck like this before? He's 56, he's 55, and you're running late for work and the speed limit's 65. Ever been there? Ever wondered why? It's called the slow lane to your right. Move over. Ever been this? On an international flight, ever been stuck with this? Hallelujah, I love kids. How about the guy on his cell phone not paying attention? Have you seen that? You should go on YouTube and look at all the stuff about it. We couldn't put them on there because some of the things they said. But you should go on YouTube and look at some of the people who actually are watching. They're having more people now. Now, we know about the driving issue. It can hurt you driving, right? People run into things. Run into you can hurt and could kill people. You wouldn't believe how many people are hurting themselves walking with a cell phone. They're walking with it. I've seen them walk into fountains. I've seen them walk into elevator doors. I've seen them walk into doors that aren't open. There are so many. The injury rate for people with cell phones doubles each year. The injury emergency ER rate for people with cell phones is doubling every year. They call it a smartphone, but it's operated by dumb people. How about the person who's in the front of you in line, and there's a whole line of people there, and he's saying, no, I think it was 97 cents, not 99 cents like you charged me. Could you send someone back there and look and make sure it's not 97? I think it's 97 cents. I just want to go, here's 2 cents. Here it is. I've always wanted to put my 2 cents in. Here it is. Take it. Just go. Just give it to them. Walmart, you can just let them go with the 2 cents, all right? I mean, people, they can annoy you at times. And I'm sure I've annoyed somebody else at some time. We always think that it's always the bad guys out there that are the annoyers, and we're the annoyee. A lot of times, you're the annoyer. But God did not put people here on the face of the earth with the responsibility of annoying you. He put them here to bless you. And maybe more importantly, for you to bless them. Maybe they're here so that you could bless them. You see, people matter. Our senior pastor, founding pastors of this church, said this quote to me: people are more important than things. Remember in life that people are more important than things. What you got to do, the projects and all that stuff, people are more important than all of that. People are more important than stuff. People are more important because when you get to heaven, there won't be any stuff. The only thing that's going to heaven with us is people. People are going with us to heaven. It's all that will happen. All that will go with us. Everything else is going to be left behind. People is what matters to God. And people should matter to us. And I'm saying, folks, we're getting ready for all these annoying people to come. But they're not annoying. They're people just like us. that have a story, that have an issue, that need a Savior, that need a God, that need an invite to come to church, that need someone to smile at them in line when they're going, 97 cents? What if you said, hey, I'll run and find out for you, and run back there and come back and say, hey, it is 99 cents, but here's the 2 cents because I don't want you to feel bad. What about it? Caring enough to help them, to risk, to move into their life, to welcome them to our community, to welcome them to church, to welcome them, make them feel good. You know, the joke is, you know, all these people from California moving into this place and all this good stuff here. We have people in this church from California. Yeah. How many people here are from California? Hallelujah. We're glad you're here. Just give them a hand. A new couple has just been starting coming to our church, Tim and Angie. They're, where are you guys at? They're back there. They're from California. We're glad that they're here. They were worried, like, oh, gosh. When people say, hey, where are you from? Oh, we're from. Oh, well, it's good to have you here. They didn't want to say where they were from because they heard all the rumors. Yeah, if you talk about California, all of a sudden, you know, they're going to hate you. No, we love you. We care about you. We don't care where you're from because God loves you. And we've got to get past the idea of people are a problem to people are the reason. Amen. People. Not annoyed by them, but our job is to bless and encourage and help transform them into the image of Jesus Christ. And if we are that image, we will have that same heart for them and not be annoyed by them, but we'd be privileged to be able to minister to them. And I consider it a privilege to be able to minister to people. I love people. Are you willing to inconvenience yourself for the convenience of someone else, for someone you don't even know because Jesus did it? Are you willing to ask someone to come to church, a Bible study, a small group, smile, be friendly, welcome them? And why? Why does God love all of these annoying people? The answer to this short question is among the most profound questions ever asked, and no human will ever be able to answer it sufficiently. One thing is certain, however, God does not love us because we are lovable. Oh, I'm a nice person. Have you ever seen him win? Here we all go, well, I'm a nice person. Have you ever seen them win? God doesn't love us because we're lovable or because we deserve his love. If anything, the opposite's true. Or look at Jeremiah 17:9. It describes our inner heart condition. It says, the heart is deceitful above all things and desperately, say it with me, who can know it? Desperately wicked. And yet in my wickedness and all of my craziness and all of my stuff and even trying to follow the Lord and shaking my hand on him once in a while and asking him why this and why that and really, his love prevails. He just keeps loving. We're corrupted by sin and don't even realize the extent our sin has tainted us, nor the extent of a Savior who has saved us. And yet God loves us. Why? 1 John, our opening scripture. Beloved, let us love one another, for love is of God. And everyone who loves is born of God and knows God. If you're not very loving and you call yourself a Christian, this scripture says you can't be that. You can't be unloving and say you know God. It doesn't work. It can't happen. It's an impossibility. He who does not love does not know God, for God is love. Say that with me. God is love. God is love. Never was a more important declaration made than this. Never was more meaning crowded into a few words than in this short sentence that God is love. This profound statement, God doesn't just love, he is love. His nature and essence are love. Love permeates his very being and infuses all of his other attributes, even his wrath and anger, because God is very, very loving by nature. He must demonstrate his love, and therefore he does. Let me say it like this now. God is love. God is love. Love is a noun here. It's what he is. Nobody here is love. You can be loving, the verb. You can be loving. You can be loving. You can love someone. You can do some things. You can be the verb, but nobody here is the noun. Nobody here is love, the essence of love. God is. This took me for a moment. I've read that verse so many times. God is love, blah, 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 blah. I'm thankful for all that. But his substance, his nature, his essence, what makes him up is an element called love. We're water and oxygen and what are all those other things that we have inside of us? Carbon and what else? I got Tommy's shoe. What else is in there, Tommy? You know. What?
Steak.
God love you. Because sometimes, no. These are the elements that compose us. But this says that that's what God is. What are the elements of God? Well, a whole lot of love is one of the elements we found. I don't understand that. I don't even comprehend it, that is him. It's the noun form. Not just an action form of what he does. Because he is the noun, he automatically does the verb form of it. But because he is the noun of that, that's why he can look at sin in the face and be so loving and caring and forgive it by the grace of Jesus Christ who died on the cross at Calvary for us. That's why he can do stuff that we look and go, I'm having a hard time forgiving this guy because he did all this stuff to me. And God goes, it's not hard for me because it's who I am. It's who I am. And I'm loved by him. It's who I am. I am loved by God. That's incredible to me. That's amazing to me. That's beyond understanding to me. God is love. Why does he give people a second chance? Why does he love all those people that look like unlovable to us? Because it's his nature. It's what he is. And why do we preach about it on Sunday? And why is it always talked about? Because it's the very element of what he is. God exercises wrath, but I don't know anywhere in the Bible that says God is wrath. God is anger. But I do have a scripture that says God is love. Does he exercise wrath? Does he exercise anger? Absolutely. But what is he? He is love. It's his essence. And I can't figure that out. All I can do is receive it. But I do know this. It was that love that drew me to him. It was that love that would forgive all of the junk that I did that drew me to him. His love changed me. It made me quit doing what I was doing because I experienced love. My dad tried to love me in the midst of all of his binges, but it was hard. God, the only binge God has gone on is a love binge. I'm sorry, guys. I've been on this for billions of years. I have a hard time getting over this. I'll try to get over it someday. No. Don't get over it. He loves. And after all the junk and after all the sin, can't I exercise that love to somebody else? Here's what it says. It's not because of you that you are loved. It's because of him that you are loved. And this verse, as we continue on in 1 John. And this is the love of God was manifested toward us, that God has sent his only begotten Son into the world that we might live through him. And this is love. Not that we love God, but that he loved us and sent his Son to be the propitiation for our sins. Beloved, if God so loved us, say it with me, we also ought to love one another. Amen. I don't see anything. We also ought to be annoyed by one another. We also ought to hate one another. We also ought to point our fingers at one another. We also should point out it says love. Good. all right. I like you guys. I love you guys. You're all good people. You're easy to love. It's easy to love the lovable. You guys are lovable. They're easy to love. Yes, Lord, I'll love people. I'll love people in this church because they're lovable. Hallelujah. No. He doesn't say we ought to also love one another in the church. We also love those people. Jesus loved the unlovable. He loved the unlovable. And let me tell you, in this thing here, I was a number of these. He loved the sinners, the outcasts, the nobodies, the lonely, the destitute, the demoniacs. He loved the tax collectors, the prostitutes, the adulterers, the fornicators, the chronic sick, the homeless, the blind, the beggars, those on drugs, those that are drunk. The unlovelies became lovely after an encounter with Jesus. The unlovely became lovely after an encounter with Jesus. I was an unlovely and became lovely after an encounter with Jesus Christ. How many others out there need that encounter? He just loved them, every one of them. He just does. And after the encounter with Jesus, the unlovable became lovable. The unloved became loving. When you are around love, you start loving. When you're around love, you start loving. When you are around hate, what do you start doing? Hating. When you're around people who abuse others, you start abusing. When you're around love, when you hang out with Jesus, when you hang out with people that are loving, you start loving. And we must love people. Why? Because Jesus lives inside of us. And his essence is love. And you have to realize now, your essence, your new nature, is one who loves. One who can look at a fault in a person and overcome it with a loving, caring attitude. One who can take all the junk and the crap and the garbage that people throw at you and wade through it with your galoshes on, move through it and continue to move toward that person and say, "But I love you anyway." And the thing that draws deep, dark sinners into an encounter with Jesus Christ is his irresistible love. What changes anybody with any addiction, any problem, any issue, any sin is not, "You're wrong." They know that. You're loved.
That's good.
You're loved. You're loved. You're loved. He was hearing that so many times that I wanted to give my life to Christ. You're loved. You're loved. Do we need to take stand against the issues and stuff? Sure. But you better do it with love and not with a pointing finger. There's a world, a weird world out there crying out, "I'm not feeling the love. I'm not feeling the love." And they're looking for it in all the wrong places. All this stuff out there, drugs, alcohol, sex, all sorts of illicit things, all sorts of wrong relationships. Why? They want love. They want love. Everybody at their core is programmed to want it. Just find a pseudo form of it in the wrong place. And we want to condemn them, but maybe we should start showing them the alternate place where they can find it. A love that is so deep, so caring, so awesome, so wonderful, that it forgives any sin, transforms any life, and opens up heaven's door in eternity in an instant. Wow. What an amazing God. Amazing love. Amazing. What got me saved is I got loved out of sin. Should we love folks? General Booth of the Salvation Army made this quote: go for souls and go for the worst. Love the worst people out there. Love them. Watch what'll happen. Just keep, they'll scratch their head. Why do you love me when I keep bashing you? I just do. Because the essence of love, the nature of what love is, lives inside of me. And he helps me to love you. People matter to God. Do they matter to you, all of them? Do they annoy you or matter to you? We're going to start seeing a bunch. Whoa! Ta-da! I was going to say I planned that, but that wouldn't go over well. That would be a lie. We're going to see people. They're going to come through these doors. People are going to invite folks to come to church. Hey, you want to come? Hey, come on. You want to come to a place? People care about you. They're going to come, and they're going to come. They're going to pull in their cars, and hopefully they're going to be smiling people out here, and there's going to be people who are smiling at the doors, and they're going to open up the doors for them. They're going to open up the doors, and they're going to welcome them inside and smile at them. And as they come through, people are going to shake their hand and say, hey, welcome to church. We're glad you're here. Then somebody's going to say, hey, would you like a coffee, a latte? Is there anything we could do for you? And as they come into the doors, my prayer is this. Three aspects where I want them to understand the love of God. When they come through those doors, that they feel his love in worship. As we're worshiping, letting God know how awesome he is and how thankful we are that he loves us. That when they walk into this building, they walk into this room, they feel love from the worship. And as they sit down, hi, how are you? How's everything going? Good, awesome. It's my first time here. What's your name?
Sarah.
Sarah, nice to meet you. Great. How long have you been coming here?
About a year.
How's it going? How's the guy that preaches up there? I don't know. I've heard things about him. He's a little, he's tall and not very good looking. So anyway, hi, how are you guys doing?
Good.
It's good to be here. How are you?
Good.
Awesome. Bless you, man. And as we're sitting here and we get up there and we start preaching, I want them to feel the love of God through worship, and I want them to hear it from the pulpit. I want them to hear how much God loves them. I want them to hear the truth in love. Understand that we're going to speak the truth. We're going to say things that possibly could offend somebody, because the Bible does. It says some things that are very strong, very powerful, very, very dogmatic, very strong. But God always delivers the truth packaged in love. He says, this is truth. This is the Bible. This is what it says. Because we're not living right. And the way we're living or thought was okay, and we've had everybody tell us is okay, isn't okay, according to the scriptures. And God's trying to confront that in us. And so when we hear it at first, we go, whoa, dude, oh, hey, back, oh. We need to deliver truth, the word of God. But God always gave it in love. Here's the truth, but I love you, man. I'm going to help you grow. I'm going to help you change. I know you're struggling some things and some sin issues and stuff. But that's okay. Hey. I got to tell you what it is. But I'm going to draw you in to my family. I'm going to draw you into love. And that love is going to allow the things that are tangled around you, that are wrapped around you, that are pulling on you, that are choking you, that you don't understand. I'm going to start releasing that grip. And I'm going to do it through people who will love you. So we're going to... I want them to feel the love. Hey, I'm feeling the love. I want them to sit down and I want them to hear the love and also hear, oh, dude. Oh. But it's true. And thirdly, when it's all done, it's not done. Phase one is worship. Phase two is the word. Phase three is you're dismissed. That's a part of your church service? Oh, it's probably the biggest part of our church service. Wait a second. You have worship, You're preaching the word and you're dismissed? Yep, three of them. We need all three of those or else we don't have church. What are you saying? Because what happens after I say you're dismissed is where they begin to understand and know the love because someone cares enough to come and talk to them. Hey, what are you doing afterwards? How about lunch? What's happening? How are you doing? What's going on? What's your name?
Barry.
Very nice to meet you, man.
Nice to meet you.
Are you visiting here? Are you from out of town?
Yeah.
Awesome. Well, I hope you come back again.
I will.
All right. Bless you, man. What happens afterwards is so important. What you do afterwards is so important. Who you talk to afterwards is so important. Because who you talk to and create a relationship with will bring them back. Because people come to church where their friends are. And you've got a service to make a friend. Or you can go about your own business. Well, la-di-da, I got to go do a couple of things. Blah, 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 blah. Great, you just missed out on an opportunity to love somebody. Was it really that important?
Good.
Or is it more important to love a person and see their life changed? If my wife wouldn't have taken time with me, I was sitting right the very back. Actually, not in this building, another building. Came back and talked to me, shared with me, made me feel special. A football player at University of Idaho, civil engineering student, shy as could all get out, in the very back. As soon as it was over, my mentality was, in the church that I grew up in, as soon as it was, boom, you put on your shoes and you ran as fast as you could out of there, get in the parking lot, get out of there before anybody else does. And she hit me before I could get my shoes on. Talked to me. Made me feel special. Made me feel good about coming. Folks are going to come through these doors. People. People that God loves. They're going to come to Spokane. Going to come down those stairs into your little spot. They're going to feel the presence of God. They're going to see people that care about them, want to pray for them, want to help them, want to connect with them, want to be with them. Develop a community of people that care about God together, live life together, go through pains and hurts and victories and triumphs together. And their lives change together. That's what's going to happen. My prayers, will you be a part of it? Will you help the Lord love them the way He would want to love them? Father, I thank you. You're so amazing. I thank you, Lord, for being so good to us. I pray for us, Lord, as we welcome all the people and those in Spokane, welcome the people in, that we would do it with such love and care and honor and respect and dignity that the people would go, wow, there's something about that place. Because there's something about Jesus that's irresistible. Help us, Lord, to be irresistible to sinners just like you were. In Jesus' wonderful and precious name we pray. And everybody said, amen. If you don't know Jesus right here, come on up. People are going to gather around. They'll pray for you to receive Christ. Maybe you need to rededicate your life to Christ. Come on up here. If you need prayer for something, come on up here. We're going to pray for you. We care about you. Afterwards, as you go out, spend time fellowshipping, you finally do make it out. I got donuts and stuff for those who are new here. I'd love to be able to get a chance to say hi to you as well. We love you. We care about you. And so does Jesus. God bless you. See you next week. You're dismissed.